located at one of the crossroads of the world, Singapore's strategic location, has helped her to grow into a major entrepot and financial center for trade, communications, and tourism. Today, Singapore proudly owns the world's busiest port, best airport, and best airline. Singapore is also well known around the world as a garden city. Though there are many glittering skyscrapers, there are a lot of green trees and beautiful plants along the roadsides and around the island. This is attributed to the continuous efforts of the Singapore government in planting trees and plants. Singapore's uniqueness stems from her harmonious blend of ethnicities and culture. The immigrants of the past have given her a mixture of Malay, Chinese, Indian, and European. Each ethnic group has its own distinctive culture, and there are colorful festivals of special significance all year round. Although the festivals are special to certain cultures, it is nonetheless enjoyed by all. With open attitude towards spirituality, sincere truth seekers in Singapore thus invited Supreme Master Ching Hai to share her knowledge and wisdom in several occasions. We now invite you to listen to Supreme Master Ching Hai's lecture entitled, "The Suffering of This World Comes from Our Ignorance," delivered on January 10, 1995, in Singapore.
Good evening, Supreme Master Ching Hai, ladies and gentlemen. A very warm welcome to you on behalf of the Singapore Initiates. I'd like to thank the Supreme Master for being here and kindly accepting our invitation to come to Singapore to deliver tonight's lecture. As a token of appreciation, we would like to welcome her with three local dances as follows. The first is called the Malay Welcome Dance. The performers from the Malay village will treat you to a colorful dance that represents the vibrant Malay culture. The dancers will enthrall you with their graceful movements accompanied by the Malay drum called the kompang. Let's put our hands together and welcome them. Thank you.
Terima kasih.
The next dance is called the Bhangra dance, which originated from Punjab, India. It's a dance of joy and celebration during the harvest season. The Punjabis will beat their drums and wear colorful costumes to add to the festive season. I would like to invite a fellow initiate to tell us about her experiences.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a manager in a local bank. As a Kuan Yin initiate, I'm very happy tonight to be given the opportunity to share my experiences with you. I'll touch on how being on this path has made a difference to my family life and cite instances where my inner meditative encounters have left an indelible mark on me. I was initiated in Taiwan. During initiation and while in meditation, I was suddenly bombarded by a strong pulsating light aimed at my third eye. I had to steel myself as the force was so strong and overwhelming. In fact, I thought that I was about to topple backwards. The light seemed endless. I heard beautiful sounds, one after another, as if playing a melody of its own. My husband and I enjoy a close relationship. Now I'd like to relate my experience, which helped me understand the basis for this closeness. One night, after a good meditation session, while lying down, I found myself transported back into what seemed like the Middle East during medieval times. As if looking into a crystal ball, I saw a sword-wielding man with a prominent mustache. whom I knew intuitively as my husband. Following this, the scene changed quickly, and I found myself looking at what seemed to be ancient China. This I knew to the garb of the man. This time, it was a scholarly-looking man with the same trademark. He had a prominent moustache. If you look at my husband today, you'll notice his moustache. He has the bearing of a Chinese scholar and a fondness for swords. It seemed as if my meditation has allowed me to see into the past, and now I understand that the continuation of our relationship has been through many lifetimes. On other occasions, while lying down after meditation, I felt my body grew lighter and the room lost its solidity and became ephemeral. In the next instant, I was catapulted into this long, bright tunnel. At the end of it, I found that I have arrived in a strange land, all peaceful and quiet. I had also the opportunity to fly in what seemed to be a flying carpet, to see strange cities, to all white and glowing. I sense a profound peace there. There are many more instances in which the blessing of the Master has been keenly felt by both myself and my family, but I will not dwell on them because it will take too long. Suffice to say that on this path, we are blessed with both outer and inner experiences. Master's power indeed works in a mysterious way beyond our human intellect. I'd like to sincerely thank Master Zhenghai for initiating me and my family. Thank you.
Thank you so much for everything. Flower, fruit, cakes for yourself. And thank you for the beautiful dance. Are they all from Malaysia? Singapore, really. Nice. How are you? You comfortable? Yeah? Okay. It's beautiful in Singapore anyhow. No complaint. The weather is so fine. Just perfect. And you like to dance, huh? You do? Ah, I didn't know Singapore people can dance so nice like that. The only time I saw Singapore people dance last time, there was something like a workout time, Singapore, something like that. And they were wearing short pants and sweating. And I thought it was very nice already, and I didn't think it could be so nice like this. Before I came to the lecture, some mysterious angel without wings brought me some clothes, you know, like one similar to the dancers, you know. And they expressed the wish that I should wear them, because here the Malaysian people wear like that. Yes. I said, I thought I'm in Singapore. I said, oh, yeah, but we are Malaysian here. You wear Malaysian clothes and people will like it better. I said, sure, I would like to. I'd love to do that. And to make sure that I know how to wear, you know, because there's hat and cap and all this kind of thing. They even bought me a big book of catalog, you know, all different design for marriage couples. Anyhow, all so beautiful. When I look at the catalog, I thought, wow, this is beautiful. I would like to wear too. And just to make people feel also closer to me, that I'm one of you. Okay, I tried on to please you. So you know my size pretty well. Now, they bought me a perhaps queen size clothes, you know. I don't know if the Malaysian don't make a smaller size or what. So they bought me the bottom and the top. Okay, the bottom is so long. So when I put them on, I look like those scarecrow. on the field, you know. And then the top, when I put them on, because the shoulder pads so big and so large, I look like a mushroom. Oh, so I thought, what can I do now? Even if to please the Malaysian people, I cannot go on like that. Because I look at the catalog, they look so beautiful. And when I look at myself, I thought, no, if I wear it like this, I will risk to damage the reputation of Malaysian custom. So I thought I better just wear this. So what you want to hear? We could just sit together like this and stare at each other, you know. People do that. People do that when they first fall in love, don't they? First time they met each other, just stare at each other like that. And after marriage, 10 years, they stare also, but different direction. When I see you, I forget everything. That's the trouble. It's not the first time you see me, no? First time? Yes? No? No. I came here 2 times before. No? Nobody saw me before? Somebody see me before? Raise their hands. Yeah, of course, of course. Old friends. We have been seeing each other many times. And you know, I love Singapore because of the reclaimed land. It's unique. When we were driving on the way here, it's wonderful to feel that before it's supposed to be a sea, and now due to the cleverness of the Singapore people, you can drive on top of the water. Yeah. So who say that we don't have magical power? The Singapore people do, they must. Otherwise they don't have enough land. And I think it's fantastic that you, after sawing all the mountains down, you even dig the ocean and make it a highway, you know. This is fantastic. And I was saying to our friend who drives the car that it's okay to be small, like me. Because we were talking of a big country, yeah? And I said, oh, Singapore is beautiful. It's small, it's beautiful. And he said something like, we try to expand, you know, to make it bigger. Just like this afternoon when I tried the Malaysian outfit, I tried to expand myself to fit into it. And so we were talking about the country size, and I say, no, maybe Singapore is small, that's why it's easy to govern, and that's why you develop so fast, and it's the envy of many nations. So we should not always consider the size, whether it's big or small. The same thing happened to the spiritual life. Many people expect that the enlightened persons are to be enlightened. That being must be something extraordinary, must be perhaps 7 feet tall, or have feet like this, or hand like that. Because we read the sutras. In the sutra, the Buddhist Bible, it described that the Buddha has such and such a mark, you know, like his feet, you know, linked together like the duck, you know. His leg look like the deer's leg, and his eye look like a cow's eye, thing like that, you know. And they try to make the Buddha beautiful, but can you, if you put all this together, it's make a funny Buddha, you know. They don't realize that. Perhaps in the old time, these kings of animals are the best symbol of beauty, yes, and noble character. That's why the one who loved the Buddha tried to convey to others that he is so beautiful, like, you know, the way he walked like the king of goose, yeah. And his chest is like the lion, and such and such things, yeah. But when you put all these animal parts together, you know, you don't know what kind of Buddha that is. Now this is outside only. And the inside of us, each one is the same. I think all of you know that. But how same? And how can we know that? And this is a difficult question. Even though it is very easy, but it is difficult. Because we have forgotten it, that's all. We have forgotten completely. what we really are, and we are busy with chasing our dream every day and trying to fulfill our immediate desires, and we forget. We forget what we really are and where we come from. Just to tell you how forgetful we can be, I'll tell you a true story of myself. I went to Australia, I think 2 or 3 years ago, also due to invitation, first time. And we're supposed to have 3 lectures in different cities. The first lecture went on all right, no problem. The second lecture also all right, I was on time. The third lecture, I was late. The only reason is not traffic. It's not that I have no car or nothing. The only reason is that I forgot. I forgot that I have the lecture that evening. I keep doing my things. You know, like the room is a little bit untidy, so I keep tidying it up, and then I try to move things here and there, like it's my house. Perhaps it's balanced my schedule, a busy schedule, give me something to do. Perhaps, or perhaps I'm a perfectionist. Whenever I see something, it's not in order, I try to put it in order. But that is to the extent that I forget that I had the lecture that evening. I forget until half an hour after the beginning time. And then some nervous disciple running, broken, kind of crashing, and say, "Master, where are you?" And then I say, "Why? I'm here." Very cool. I say, "Master, you're supposed to be in the lecture hall." I say, "What? What lecture hall?" I really completely forgotten. I guess nobody as terrible as me, but perhaps we do forget sometimes. You do or not? Sometimes you are engrossed in some other business and you forget the main purpose of your goal that day. Did that happen to you sometimes? It does, huh? Then of course I had to rush and apologize to the people. I feel really terrible. And I promised to God that, you know, if he make me lecture again, he must put alarm clock for me. So from then on, you know, I always put alarm clock everywhere. And whenever the lecture, you know, I set it on everywhere so that I will remember in case I forget. How can you forget a lecture? Oh, I even don't understand that. But that's what I did. So now, if we are here too long, one life, 2 lives, 100 lives, then of course we forget even more what the purpose of our coming here. Some of the people, they sometimes die. They die temporarily for like a few minutes or 20 minutes even. Clinically dead, declared dead by the doctor. Stop breathing, no pulse, etc. But then after they come back, they told many stories of the other life beyond. And then they also remember why they came here for, what for they came to the earth. But many of them, most of them, forget immediately what they have seen in heaven or what they're supposed to do in this life. They know that they have seen the purpose of their life, but when they came back here, they came back to this life again, they forgot. They just know that they know, but they don't know what. The Chinese have a saying that before we are born into this world again, the king of neither world will give us some soup, a kind of hot drink, maybe chocolate or something. That is supposed to make us forget completely our past life and start anew. Many of us promise that we come here, if we are given the chance again to be human being, we will do this, do that, and others. And we will go and practice and meditation and so on, so on, and then we get enlightened, and then we dedicate all our life and energy to serve mankind, etc., etc. And we really meant well. But because of this soup, this forget-me soup. Everybody forget. So the only thing for us to remember again is that we must open the gate of secret knowledge. Without that gate open, we can never ever peep beyond this world. And the only thing we know is this material existence and all its suffering, joy, and temporarily other things. And we would forever identify ourselves with this physical appearance and suffering with it. But why? Why must we remember the purpose of our coming here? Not because we have promised to do so, but because if we don't remember, we must come back again and again and again until we remember, until we fulfilled our mission in this planet, and then we can go to higher existence or remember our original great position in heaven or in Nirvana.
We are honored to have you with us today on Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of The Suffering of This World Comes from Our Ignorance. And now, A Journey Through Ascetic Realms, coming up next on Supreme Master Television, right after Noteworthy News. May your heart be filled with joy and tranquility.